Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Time to lap. Gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret Marshall, your host, and I want to welcome you on this beautiful spring day. It's lovely here in my city, just the right temperature, but no matter how lovely it is anywhere we are, we know it's just not quite the same as feeling that the trade winds flow softly across your face as you sip on your favorite drink in your favorite easy chair on the island of Jamaica, land we love. So I want to invite you, if you're coming along later, just to enjoy that little classical reggae by Mr. Kevin MacLeod, and get yourself in the island mood to just chill for the next couple of minutes and hear some fascinating news about our beautiful country, which is about to celebrate this year some special numbers. So we're going back way back when, because, you know, it's so interesting to discover these very, very cool stories about long before we were here. So tonight we're going to relax in our easy chair, sip on our rum and Coca-Cola, if you can take a drink. But if you're like me and it doesn't go with the medication, you got to drink coconut water or some other, perhaps some soursop drink. And since we're getting ready for Easter, I don't remember what we used to drink for Easter, but I know in my day, perhaps we would just love to have a Coca-Cola. So, tonight we're talking about Jamaica's French Connection. And this is from the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage by Olive Senior. It makes a wonderful cocktail table book. It's a wonderful gift for a perhaps family of Jamaicans. So I highly recommend it, and I think it's available on Amazon. So let me read. I'm going to do, as usual, do a little reading from the historian's documentation. And then we'll have some sidebars, because I just enjoy those. So, it says here in the encyclopedia on the French, you know, set up just like a regular encyclopedia. To the Jamaican folk, French used to be more associated with the neighboring country of Haiti than with France. the vast majority of French-speaking settlers arrived in the island in the late 18th century as refugees fleeing revolution in what was then the French colony of Saint-Dominique. The defeat of the French there by black and colored forces, leading to the establishment of the Free Republic of Haiti. Probably because of its proximity, Jamaica as a British colony also continued over many years to offer refuge to deposed Haitian presidents, as it did to the Cuban revolutionaries of the 19th century, such as Marco and Marti, and it says C. Gerald Place, which I'm going to read to you later. So let's go on with the story. Approximately 1,200 white emigres sought refuge in Jamaica during the revolution, along with thousands of their black slaves and untold numbers of free coloreds. And we know those are the mixed up ones. The first refugees came at the start of the revolution in 1791, when the slave uprising against the French population, plantation owners of the island, began. But the bulk arrived in 1793, between 1793 and 1798, as civil war raged after the defeat of the French forces. While Jamaica opened its doors, there was nonetheless considerable nervousness about the new arrivals on the part of the authorities and the planters, who feared contamination of their own coloreds and blacks with the spirit of revolt. In 1799, Sam Portas, P-O-R-T-A-S, a Haitian spy, was hanged at the parade in Kingston. There were numerous rumors of Haitian plans to invade the island and free the black slaves, and of Haitian links with the rebellious Maroons. So, sidebar, lots of stuff was going on then. Sound like it would make a good movie. All right. I hope we have some, perhaps, script writers listening to some of these stories, because I really think that we Jamaicans had so many fascinating stories that at least I'm fascinated with. So let me go back on now to this historian. You know, I have to spice it up a little with my sidebars. Okay, where am I? No, I lost my place. Okay, the authorities were especially suspicious of the free coloreds, some of whom were accused of or suspected of subversive activities and expelled. For a time, there was an attempt to confine the non-whites to Kingston. The authorities went as far as deporting as aliens engaged in revolutionary activities two British subjects of Haitian descent born in Jamaica. Edward Escoffrey, that name is familiar, and Louise L-E-C-E-S-N-E. I'm spelling out these names and trying to pronounce them because I am just wondering if some of their descendants might have been left behind. You know, this is sidebar, folks. It's not in the encyclopedia. Men have been sowing their seeds, both wild seeds, for centuries. So I'm just having all sorts of stories going on in my head. So let me get back to the story. So their expulsion and subsequent return becoming a celebrated case. So apparently they expelled them, but they came back because they were British subjects. Okay, in 1803, all the French aliens and their slaves were rounded up and offered free passage to New Orleans, though some refugees by this time had become naturalized and were allowed to settle. So we now know that Jamaica shipped some of the people who came to Jamaica to New Orleans. It should be pointed out that from the French Revolution of 1793 to 1815, England and France were at war with the Caribbean, the scene of major naval engagements. In addition to the French from Haiti, some had been brought to the island as prisoners of the Anglo-French wars, and some refugees from the Revolution in France had arrived via America. The bulk of the white immigrants had been planters in St. Dominique. And many of those who settled in Jamaica bought land in the mountains, especially in the parish of St. Andrew and what are now Portland and St. Mary, contributing to the expansion of the coffee industry. Others became established city merchants or manufacturers, of which the best known names today are Denos, Malabry, Malabre, and Duquesne, Duquesney. While some of the immigrants brought skills and capital, many had escaped with nothing but the clothes on their backs and were in fact destitute, contributing to the city's poor. Some of the immigrants settled the village of Above Rocks in St. Catherine Parish. Sidebar now, I'm sorry, I'm getting a little hoarse. The pollen is still very active in my town. But let's get back to this fascinating story, because now we know, you know, that just like there were poor blacks, the whole lot of poor whites came too, and we're hearing where they settled. Some of them came with money, some came with the clothes on their backs. All right, let's go back to the story. The French infusion had an impact on the cultural life of Kingston, especially. According to Errol Hill, among them were people of culture, musicians especially, who gave concerts and had found employment in theater orchestras, in the military too. Patrick Byron, B-R-Y-A-N, noted that 16 boys aged 9 to 17, all mulattoes or blacks previously attached to a French regiment in Haiti, had found employment in Jamaica as band musicians with the 12th Regiment of Light Dragons. Whew. And I want to take a break now and find out if anybody on the board ever heard of that band. I don't even think there's any documentation anywhere else. I hadn't seen any about the 12th Regiment of Light, Dragoons. So please fill me in, because as usual, I'm like a kid in a china shop. I'm a candy store. What china shop? I would be a bull in a china shop if we were talking about that. But I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm so excited because I am reading this for the first time, too, because these articles are long. And once I discover and decide what we're going to talk about, I have so much other things to do, getting on online, write up the promo, mail it out. So I'm hoping that you are on my list. I see you all on the board. And I want to take a minute to welcome everybody listening online, because more people are clicking on the little logo and listening online now than before. So thank you for doing that. And I want to welcome everybody to the Labrish. We're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock, where we pretend we're in Jamaica, enjoying a nice cool drink and feeling the trade winds blow across our faces. Now, if you go up there or visited or drop in now and then, you might have a favorite place. But mine, since I was a Kingstonian, would be perhaps on the front veranda if the sun was going down, or perhaps once we lived in a house with a flat roof and it had steps that you go up on top of the roof and just chill. I don't think they're building the houses like that anymore. I don't know if there are any left. But I know that I had some of that experience. And, man, you felt like you could touch the heavens as you just gazed up as the sun went down and you could look up into the beautiful sky. And the stars were always visible. And if it was a full moon, as we would say, that was brata. So let me get back to these fascinating stories. So we know now that mulattoes, or I suppose, and they were Haitian mulattoes, and blacks were performing in the theater. And we're talking about 17-something or 18-something, because we're going back that far. So here's my point, folks. We have been diverse and mixed up for a long time. So let me get back to the story. In the Jamaican theater, there were, for a while, French companies in residence, including, for 2 years, a French operatic company under Mr. and Mrs. Armand, A-R-M-A-N-D, as well as other companies providing lighter fare. Especially light was the entertainment cited by Clinton Black of a Monsieur du Moulin, M-U-L-I-N. And when she's quoting, sidebar again, the names, it's other historians that she is getting her information from. Now, the couple I mentioned, the Clinton Black of a Monsieur du Moulin, apparently Clinton Black is the actor in that lighter entertainment, which seems to be a play. And it says, whose main act was to dance on a tightrope with two children tied to his feet. Oh, my gosh, those poor kids. Whew. Anyway, I suppose they grew up fearless. I wonder who they were. Gosh. All right, back to the article. The public scene was also much enlivened by the arrival of the French set girls, first recorded in 1794. And if you are listening to this online, I am now able to put a little, whatever you call it, video thing going where you could see a picture of the set girls who were obviously colored, you know, people, as they call people here. And we're talking about them dancing in 1794, okay, becoming part of the Jankunu festival. For those who trafficked with the occult and practitioners of French Obia, they were regarded as the most powerful And in parenthesis, she has a belief, by the way, which persists. While Haitians regard Jamaican Obia as more powerful and sinister than their own practices. The infamous Annie Palmer, the legendary White Witch of Rosal, was said to have been schooled in Haitian voodoo. While the French arrivals were of different races, classes, and political persuasions, they were united by one institution. And I wonder if any on the board that I didn't put it in the promo, does anybody know what that institution was? If you would raise your hands, let me see how smart you are if you know. Huh, any hands? I see numbers on the board, no hands going up. But anybody want to take a guess what that institution was? Huh, I don't see that. Any hands? So it was the Roman Catholic Church. There were several Roman Catholic priests among the refugees, and it was they who revived the church in Jamaica in 1791. For many years thereafter, it was known as the French Church. Both the early priest and most parishioners being French-speaking. The dispersal of the French immigrants to rural Jamaica led to the spread of this religion outside of Kingston. As late as 1872, there were objections by a Catholic who claimed he spoke for many to the appointment of an Englishman to head the church in Jamaica. Prior to the arrival of the Haitians, the French connection was mainly a military one. As antagonists to British forces at a time when the Caribbean was known as the cockpit of Europe, they fought, it was fought over by the European powers. For some notable battles against French foes or the threat of invasion, see Carlisle Bay, which I'll read to you later on, because that's interesting too, and also Nelson and Rodney. This all has to do with the French connection. And believe me, there was a lot more connection than I thought at first. Back to the article. On a more passive note, General of the island's most popular decorative plants owe their names to French navigators or naturalists who first introduced them to Europe. Among them is the bougainvillea, the poinsettia, and quite a few more. Prominent Frenchmen connected to the island in early times included Louis Gadley, G-A-D-G-A-L-D-Y, and it says see Port Royal, Martin R-U-S-E-A, whatever way you pronounce that, it's apparently French, a benefactor of education, Father DuPont, and Jean P-O-U-I-A-T, Puyat, a Haitian refugee who became famous for his introduction of the, anybody want to take a guess, who introduced a famous food to Jamaica. That has a French connection too. Do I see any hands? Ooh, it's getting lonely in the backyard. All right. So since you won't guess, it's the Gros Michel banana. It was introduced by a Frenchman. Darn. The most famous today are the Duperlys, D-U-P-E-R-L-Y-S, of the photographic art. So I see a hand up. I didn't know France and Haiti and all of that contributed so much to Jamaica, Jamaican theater, Jamaican culture, and Jamaican food. Boy, am I being schooled. Oh, I see a hand up at 631-451. So I'm going to open the mic and take a break. Good evening. Welcome to the backyard. You got Margaret all giggly. Who do I have?
Good evening, Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Hi, Miss Janine. I like that little giggle as you start. I suppose I made you smile.
Yes, you did, because I didn't know some of these things. I said, "Is either I don't know it or my brain's just kind of tired tonight."
Well, I knew that. I know that there are two different kinds of bananas in Jamaica. You know, two different
right.
like
that
the
I know.
And the what's the other one? Lacaton?
No, Ghost Michelle and oh my God! I told you, my brain's tired tonight.
I don't think we have one with that name.
There was another one. Oh God.
Well, we'll leave that for some of the people come by to fill
yes.
us in. I know it's not. It's not. Ghost Michelle and
oh my God.
They even have a little different shape and a different mm-hmm. and a different sort of texture when they're cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Anyway, Ghost Michelle was introduced by a Frenchman.
Yes, that was the popular one, the Ghost Michelle banana.
Oh, is that the one that's most tender?
Yes, and most of them, if I can remember right, they're small. They're not like over big.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah,
they're
but
like...
I remember going to the market with my grandmother. That's the one she would buy, the Ghost Michelle.
Okay, so the older people knew the difference.
Oh, yeah,
I learned about it, I think, since I'm doing this history, and we had a whole set of shows on the fruits and vegetables of Jamaica.
Right.
So I'd like to take this opportunity. Thank you from calling in from Long Island. You're always welcome, and thanks for helping us out here.
Yeah.
But I want to take a minute to let the listeners know that we're here each Thursday at 8 o'clock where we celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich, diverse culture of Jamaica, land we love. And historically, you know, Jamaica has been diverse for a very long time because we're talking about here before the, a long, long time ago, when even in 17-something, there were free blacks, free mulattoes that were not under slavery. Some were, I suppose, wealthy, and some were very poor, according to some of this documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something else you want to add now?
No, I'm just on to keep you company.
Oh, good. good. All right, let me go back to the article then. The eminent artist and photographer, Adolphe Armand, the last name is spelled, he has three different names. Last name is spelled Duperly.
Duperly.
Is that how you would
Duperly.
Say that?
Duperly.
Duperly.
Yes.
Was born in Paris in 1801, the son of Jean Duperly and his wife, Maria Elizabeth. He left France for Haiti, where he taught lithography before traveling on to Jamaica by way of Santa de Cuba. Yeah. Following his arrival in Kingston on August 7th, 1824, Duperly set up his studio to become a pioneer of the photographic art. Duperly is best known for his 1848 set of 24 Jamaican scenes called the Dagorian Excursions in Jamaica.
Hmm.
Now listen to this because this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
These pictures were lithography on stone, taken faithfully from the daguerreotype that it is just a name of the type of photography, I suppose. That was a precursor process of what was to become photography as we know it today.
Wow.
The process was invented in 1839 in France, and Duperley was one of the first to use the process in Jamaica.
Whoa.
So here again,
mm-hmm.
we are finding out things about Jamaica being the first for
yes.
so many things that have benefited mankind
mm-hmm.
all over the world.
Well, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
More than amazing.
So each time I just randomly pick something that tweaks my interest, I'm finding out about Jamaica or something being done there. Sometimes it's not always done by someone born there,
mm-hmm.
but they did it while they were there.
Yeah.
I am just very fascinated, you know, because there are stories of other people who come there just as if, you know, some people go to a place and just get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do too well health-wise and otherwise.
Right.
Perhaps they never return to the place they originated.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like so many people, even if they came from another country, when they came to Jamaica, they decided to settle. Because remember, it said earlier in the article that he decided to open his studio there
yeah.
mm-hmm. to work on this invention that he knew about.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful island. How could they resist not staying there?
True. Okay, listen to this now. He married Louise Denos, who was the daughter of Joseph Denos and Marie somebody, a Haitian Creole in Kingston on August 1832. Mm. The Denos family originally came from the parish of Saint-Brie near Bordeaux in France. Duperley died in Kingston on the 4th of February 1864.
Whoa.
And was buried in the churchyard of the Holy Trinity Church in Kingston.
Oh, cathedral.
His sons and grandsons carried on the famous photographic family business in Kingston until 1933.
Hmm.
Now, that's just 2 years before I was born. So, I mean, that's sort of recent because I'm still alive.
Yes. And
that
kicking
is business,
pretty good.
The business that they started was still going on. I am just mesmerized by all of this information. So you see, we really have a very strong French connection,
mm-hmm.
not only in the arts, but also, you know, from the generation of different families.
Right.
And I am sure, even though perhaps the business itself apparently closed in 1933, there were some sons and offspring scattered perhaps all over the island.
Well, didn't we have a soda company by the name of Denos?
Oh, yeah, well, D&G, Denos and Geddes.
Yes, I
Denos
wonder if
Geddes
they are related.
They originated, as far as I know, started the soda business, bottling company business. It wasn't, I don't know if it was sodas in those days, when we had the orange crunch and the grape thing.
Yes.
And
yeah.
My favorite was the grape. The
yes.
grape.
Yes.
But, you know, it was, I think it's still operating, but it was sold out to Pepsi Cola perhaps some years ago because it was, I found out at the time I was operating a business here in Georgia, where I reside.
Yeah.
And I remember the customers complaining that the Jamaican drink was not tasting the same to them.
Way. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
The cola.
And I had no clue that they really knew what they were talking about,
yeah,
because were some of the oldest Jamaicans who were accustomed to the old taste.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, when I found out from the salesman, he told me that if I read the label, I would see that it says bottled by D&G for P&C or PC.
Yeah, because when you taste the cola champagne and the cream soda and those drinks, it's not the same like when we had it when we were
in the old days.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, like everything else, everywhere else, they're using a lot of substitutes.
Yeah, they're cutting
for
it out
to mimic the flavor and the taste. And,
yeah,
you know, they're doing a pretty good job. But the people with the older palates who know what,
yeah,
it's look
right,
like,
right,
taste like.
They, yeah, they didn't get
can really discern the change.
Mm-hmm.
So
even the ting,
I,
though, is.
Excuse me?
Even ting, you know, the drink ting, it's a grip.
Yes.
It's not the same when you buy it.
Really?
It's really not.
Hello?
Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
I'm here.
Well, let me give you a little more information about the French Connection, because we now know that there was an uprising with the black slaves and the mulattoes, and they, you know, they defeated the French and became a republic.
Yes, yes.
So there's a reference here, as I meant. Did I read that part yet? Wait a minute. Let me see if I'm finished. Because there was reference someplace about Jamaica being giving, you know, residence to some deposed Haitian presidents, as well as somebody from, was it Cuba or somewhere else? But let me tell you now, it refers to a Carlisle Bay, Carlisle Bay,
mm-hmm,
where there was a battle. It says it's located at the mouth of the Rio Mino, M-I-N-H-O,
yeah,
on the south coast near Rocky Point. No, that's not what I wanted to read to you. Let me go to the one I really want to tell you about first. Hold on. I think it's Carlisle. Yeah, it's Carlisle Bay. Okay. It was the scene of a principal military engagement with a foreign foe that took place in the island during the British occupation. In the late 17th century, England and France were at war, and the hostility spread to the Caribbean area. This was only 2 years after the great earthquake that had destroyed Port Royal in 1692. Jean Ducasse, governor of the French colony of St. Dominique, now Haiti, believed the island to be still weak from the effect of the earthquake and could be easily captured. However, an English sailor, Captain Elliot, then, hold on, let me turn the page here, then a prisoner in St. Dominique escaped in a canoe to bring the news to Ducasse's fleet to Jamaica. The island was immediately put on a war footing. While Ducasse and a strong fleet consisting of three men of war and 23 transports arrived, they first attacked the coastline along St. Thomas Parish, plundering and killing and carrying off many slaves. A month later, they sailed past the heavily fortified Port Royal and dropped anchor at Carlisle Bay, then described as a pretty town, probably intending to march through Vere. The English governor, Sir William Beeson, Beeson, B-E-E-S-T-O-N, had guessed their intentions. And the militia and trusted slaves had built a fortification at the bay about 27 kilometers from the seashore. Meantime, reinforcements set off from Spanish Town. On the morning of July 19, 1694, the French landed 1,400 men at Rocky Point, a little to the east of Carlisle Bay, and began an attack. Began to attack the breastwork, whatever that means.
The breastwork.
Some BRASD work. The militia held out as long as possible, but the men were forced to take a last stand and they're back to the Rio Mino. At a critical moment, the militia from Spanish Town arrived, having marched 58 kilometers without stopping to rest. They immediately charged the French and forced them to retreat. The brave defenders then withdrew about 3 kilometers, leaving some 25 men in a brick house that belonged to one Mr. Hubbard. H-U-B-B-A-R-D.
R-D. Yeah, Hubbard. That name sounds familiar.
Halfway between Carlisle Bay and Alley. On the following day, there were skirmishes as the French tried to capture the house. But the people inside resisted so strongly that the French, after losing many of their men, gave up to defeat and sailed off. After firing the last small town of Carlisle. Carlisle Fort was built the next year, but fell into ruins that cannot now be seen. Carlisle Bay continued to be important in the days when sea transportation around the island was relied on. The bay was named after the Earl of Carlisle, governor of Jamaica, in 1678.
So what parish is that?
That my point is, we were almost captured by the French.
Yes, but Carlisle, what parish is that in?
I think I mentioned it someplace. I don't really remember.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
Wherever there was a fort that the ships could dock or in those days was the frightening thing. It took a whole month to sail from one place where they anchored to another place. But
right.
I'm just thinking how close we were to becoming a Haiti or like Haiti.
Very close.
Very close. Man, I wish I was younger. I think I would try to write a movie script. These things sound like they would make great. You know, like the popular, whatever they have now, Pirates of the Caribbean,
yes.
Oh, man, I'm ready.
Pirates, yes.
But I hope that the folks on the board and on listening online is having as much fun as me with all these stories going on in my head.
I'm telling
you. I see a hand up at 914-665, and I'm going to open up the mic. Good evening. You got Margaret giggling in the backyard. Who do I have?
Yes, and I love to hear that giggle, Margaret.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that a fascinating story?
No, yeah, it's amazing. This is Carl from Mount Vernon.
Well, welcome, Mr. Carl. Welcome, Mr. Carl. You heard what I said. Welcome.
Yes. Well, they're not too far, you know, they're closely related. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Earlier, I just came in when you were comparing voodooism, if I may call it that, and obiaism.
Yes.
And the Haitians thinking that we in Jamaica with obia was much deeper into the cult or the practice.
Uh-huh.
And I as you spoke, I did a little bit of a research here, and I remember the other group that's closely related to those two are the Freemasons.
Mm-hmm. Freemasons were into a
lodge. Like a lodge.
Yeah. Well, the lodges. Lodges. Because of the Freemasons.
They were into a cult too.
Yes, somewhat. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, really?
I just read a little section here that says that this even Jesus was listed. Jesus was listed as the grand master of the Christian Church. The Masons now, they credited themselves with the building of Noah's Ark, the Tower of Babel. That they hear, the pyramids and Solomon's Temple. Mm-hmm. In all, Masonry borrows liberally from the history and traditions of cultic groups such as Druids, Mitars, Egyptian priesthood, and I'm sure in Jamaica you've heard of the Rosicrucians.
Yes.
And others to weave its own history. Now, the Catholic Church has difficulties with Freemasonry because it is indeed a kind of religion unto itself.
Right.
Now, the practice of Freemasonry includes temples, altars, a moral code, worship services, vestments, feast days, a hierarchy of leadership, initiation and burial rites, and promises of eternal reward and punishment. While in America, most Masons are Christian and will display a Bible on their altar. In the same lodges or elsewhere, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and other non-Christian religions can be admitted and may use their own sacred scriptures. And I'm just reading this little bit of gem here. I'm not speaking extemporaneously. I confess, reading some of this material. And in France, in 1877, the Grand Orient Lodge eliminated the need to believe in God or the immortality of the soul, thereby admitting atheists into their fold. Now, this type of atheistic type of masonry spread particularly in Latin countries. Moreover, the rituals involve the corruption of Christianity. The cross is merely a symbol of nature and life, devoid of Christ's sacrifice of sin. This is according to the masonries. And they go on to say that the rituals are also inimical to Catholicism. During the initiation rite, the candidate expresses a desire to seek light, and he's assured that he will receive the light of spiritual instruction that he could not receive in another church, and that he will gain eternal rest in the celestial lodge if he lives and dies according to Masonic principles.
Mm-hmm.
Note also that since Masonry involves non-Christians, the use of the name of Jesus is forbidden within the lodge. And there's a lot more which really goes against my personal belief in man's relationship to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And there's a lot more that I could go on to read and
I know what you mean.
And expose.
Tell me how it relates to the French.
Well, the French, of course, they brought or introduced voodooism to Haiti, didn't they, according to the information you disclosed earlier.
Right.
And then, of course, I don't know which came first, whether Obia.
What is the difference?
Actually, I think Obia came from Africa.
Yes. Well, there's a mix, you know, the world, although we only recognize it now since the invention of the Internet, that the world is a small place.
Right.
And we are connected in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do all this research, you'll find that we are not far apart.
Mm-hmm. Right,
really,
right.
Really,
I am just always surprised to learn that Jamaica on a whole has been diverse from
so long ago.
So early, yes. Very early.
Originally, I thought it was, you know, I've done stories of the Jews being the first to arrive on the island.
Right.
When it was Spanish. The English
Correct.
Weren't there yet.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. And then, you know, it had the different times that we've done when each one of them arrived from, and I did that from the documentation on Pieces of the Past by Dr. Rebecca Tortello.
Right.
Which most of these articles, or the articles that I try to use, are documented by a historian, and they usually trace where they get their information from, because I know, you know, the internet, anybody can write anything and put it there.
True.
But of course, there's a lot of authentic information on there, too.
Of course. Of course. And it's a great source for research. This is why students today have a greater opportunity for knowledge with the internet, because you can stay home and just put in a keyword, and you'd be amazed. Well, you know, all of you are listening.
Oh, yes. You just have to be careful that the information that you're getting is verified by a recognized authentic source.
Exactly. And by the way, you also mentioned...
Anybody can write an article and put it on Wikipedia.
Absolutely. Now, you also touched on lithography. Lithography was the process in photography.
I know what that would tweak your interest.
Yeah.
But would you like to tell the public what you do, Mr. Carl, or what you are retired from?
Well, I am a professional photographer and graphic artist. I also did a lot of reporting for most of the news media in Jamaica, and particularly the Daily Gleaner. And Star.
Yes, and I want you. Would you like to share what the significance of what you have coming up shortly?
Yes. Well, I'll just touch on it, Margaret, because right now I'm in the middle of a lot of research into, offering it to the public. This is the 50th anniversary of Jamaica's independence coming up in August,
uh-huh.
And I had the privilege of being part of the foreign press I was a very young man, you know, I won't go into the numbers, very young, must
be
all
proud.
Old, in the early 20s.
Excuse me, you're trying to make me feel bad?
Be proud. We're all up there.
So anyway, I was in Jamaica as part of the press, the foreign press, actually, who covered the independence celebrations in 1962.
Mm-hmm.
And thousands of photographs were taken by the crew of the foreign press. And myself, I did at least a couple of thousand myself. But the one picture that stands out as the most historic was the one of Princess Margaret and Sir Alexander Bustamante, as they walked towards the lowering of the British flag and the raising of the Jamaican flag. A very dramatic photograph it is. And what I did, even before Photoshop, you know, Photoshop is this manipulative software which
right.
you can do a lot of Maybe. Things with images. And before Photoshop, I photographed the Jamaican flag, which was flying above Gordon House.
Mm.
And I combined the two in a montage where as they walked up, that is Princess Margaret and Sir Alexander Bustamante, you can see the Jamaican flag flying in the breeze behind them.
Mm.
And that was the picture. It has been published in several magazines and other periodicals. Also, a plaque was made for Princess Margaret, and I personally handed it to the Duke at Bustamante's home, and it was delivered to Princess Margaret, and they did acknowledge the receipt of it from Buckingham Palace.
Somebody take a picture of you doing that?
Yes, but unfortunately, over the years of my travels, I cannot find that actual photograph.
Oh my goodness!
But the picture itself is the one we are trying to promote. Make it available to people all over the world. Yes, we'll be doing it. It's a very extensive job of promoting the sale of this photograph. It will make a great gift, especially for, well, you know, there's a generational gap,
mm-hmm.
because our generation today, you ask them about Bustamante. Who is Bustamante? they wouldn't know who is Bustamante.
They have a candy. They'll perhaps think it's the candy.
Right.
Right,
Bustamante,
there you go.
Bone.
And of course, Princess Margaret. You know, I remember that her father, King George VI, he described the queen, the current Queen Elizabeth, as his pride and Margaret as his joy.
Yeah, pride and joy.
As pride and joy. And that is where my activity is right now. I do also do other things, which I won't go into now. But
Are you involved with a ball that's coming up in August?
I am trying to get, I'm sure, would that be at the St. John's?
No, I think
it's at the Hilton.
Yes.
No, I'm not. But I'd like to get some information about that,
mm-hmm.
and maybe the one place where we can physically show samples of the photograph in different settings and so on. I'd love to get that information.
Well, I'll try to get you two together after
yes.
the show, because
yes.
I don't like to give out any things online.
No.
But I want to...
It's really my sister that is more involved than I am, but, you know,
and
I
then
could
you
take
them
the
up.
Information and give it to her.
Yes.
So she's very involved in that.
Yes,
finish up now with something that I thought was quite interesting. And then we'll have time for some more sidebars. But let me get back to the article here. So we now know that there was an influx of all different classes, people of all different colors and all different classes and different positions in life, some even who might have been rich in Haiti left with the clothes on their back. And there were a lot of them there. Okay, but even after it became the Republic of Haiti, one of the Haitian presidents was had to seek refuge in Jamaica because people of the hostility against him, his own people. I'll read how he ended up in Kingston, and it was more than one that ended up there. So let me just tell you all about that. J-E-F-F-R-A-R-D, Jeffard Place, is a street in St. Andrew near the western end of the National Heroes Park, which commemorates the name of Gerald Nicholas Fabry, F-A-B-R-E, Jeffard, J-E-F-F-R-A-R-D, a former president of Haiti between 1859 and 1867, who resided in this area for many years. He advocated as president in 1867, and came to Jamaica, living there until his death in 1878. His granddaughter marrying a prominent Jamaican, his house was later demolished and the land subdivided. It didn't say who his granddaughter married, a prominent Jamaican. It didn't give the name. But we now know that he was a Haitian president. He gave up the throne, whatever they call it, the throne or the position, and remained in Jamaica until he died. Boy, these I know that in the next 50 years, my grandchildren or great-grandchildren are going to think of the year I was born, and it sounds so ancient to them as 1878 is sounding to me now. You know what I mean?
Right,
mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. The general was not the only exiled Haitian president to live in Jamaica. Among the others were Jean-Paul Boyer, B-O-Y-E-R, second president of the Republic. So apparently that one was the first, who reigned from 1818 to 1843. And he had to give it up, too, in 1843, and lived in exile at 98 East Street in Kingston for a while until he left for Paris. Emperor Faustin, and I can't pronounce this, S-O-U-L-O-U-Q-U-E is how his name is spelled, who was exiled in 1858 and lived in the city at 90 Duke Street, and again, a General Nord Axis, who was exiled in Jamaica in 1908, and died here in 1909. That's just a little before my mother was born. She was born in 1912. Oh, hell. His body being taken to Haiti for internment. So here's my point. They got their freedom. I mean, Haiti was liberated from the French. But, man, those takeover people couldn't last more than 8 years. They were either giving it up or being chased out. So I'm saying that to say, you know, in the early days, I don't know what's happening with the republics now, but in the early days, the republics didn't fare too well.
No.
And even as we speak, Haiti is still in turmoil politically. So I don't know if being a republic has such a good reputation. Anyway, let's go back. As I want to just mention, I'm just being light and comical because one thing I don't do in the backyard is we never discuss or argue religion or politics or, you know what I mean, sex in the nowadays form. We just keep it historical and funny. So let me get back to my readings here. Another famous resident of this section of the city was General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, and he was born in 1794 and died in 1876, and he was the former president of Mexico who was defeated in a war with the USA and retired to Jamaica in 1847, moving to New Grenada, which is now Colombia, in 1853. And I thought that was so interesting because he was a Mexican president after the U.S. defeated his part of Mexico, I suppose. He went to Jamaica. Interesting. Very interesting.
It seems as if everybody went to Jamaica.
I mean, it's a place to go even now. And you want to get away.
It was a getaway.
Well.
A getaway island.
Yep. Well, I saw something very interesting about Admiral Nelson. And I it was brought up in one of the shows I did, and I just want to read a little bit about Nelson. I hope everybody is enjoying this as much as I do, because we learned a little bit about the British Wars when we were in school, and I was never interested in the dates nor the names, but I can remember Nelson and Admiral Nelson, General Penn, and all of that.
Venables, yeah.
Right, you remember that.
Yeah.
But now let me tell you what is the intrigue with me. I'm going to read what is written about him by Olive Sr. in the Encyclopedia of Jamaican Heritage. And, folks, I don't, you know, get a commission off of anything I promote here, but I think that families, especially with young children, young ones, that might not be, if you want them to have some Jamaican history, I think you need to have some books that are authentic that they can refer to and you can perhaps share with them. Because a lot of things they will see happening in Jamaica now and about Jamaica at times may not make them be proud of their heritage. But I am hoping that these stories that we have about Jamaicans and Jamaica from way back when, and they're presented in their true form, there is a lot that we have to be proud of. Yes. Because when I do the stories, especially from Dr. Joy Lumsden, because she covers a period like our period that I grew up in that there was not a lot of documentation on. You know, you only got your name in the newspaper if something tragic or something very special happened. But in my day, even if someone in the neighborhood did something real good or there was a prominent doctor or so, you would not necessarily read about them in the newspaper. No. So Dr. Joy Lumsden is bringing to light people who contributed during that period before me, you know. And if you, I would invite you to go check out some of the stories in the archives on some very famous and important Jamaicans who may not have gotten the recognition that they're really deserving of. So let me go back to Mr. Nelson now and tell you where the connection is. Admiral Nelson, 1778 to 1805. Admiral Nelson, probably Britain's greatest naval hero. He was British naval commander during the Revolutionary and Napoleon Wars. In association with Old Port Royal, he was twice stationed at the naval headquarters there. A plaque on Nelson's quarterdeck at Port Charles, reminding visitors, says, "In this place dwell Horatio Nelson. You who tread his footsteps, remember his glory." So that is written on the plaque.
Oh.
Nelson spent a total of 30 months on the Jamaican station, but suffered from illness most of the time and requested to be returned back to England, where he soon regained his health. This future hero of Trafalgar wrote to a friend, "I return to England, hope revives within me. I shall recover and my dream of glory be fulfilled. Nelson will yet be an admiral. It is the climate that has destroyed my health and crushed my spirit. Home and dear friends will restore me." He was 22 years old. Nelson first came to Jamaica on the Badger from a North American posting. That the Badger is the name of the ship. On the 11th of June, 1779, he was promoted to post captain and appointed to the Hindenburg, a 28-gun frigate. While he was waiting to return for the ship to be returned from a cruise, the island was turned upside down with fear of invasion from a strong French fleet that was assembled in the area. This was during the American War of Independence, when Spain, France, and the Netherlands had also declared war on England. Although Nelson was not yet 21 years old, he was put in charge of the batteries at Fort Charles and 500 men. The island's defenses were all mustered, but Nelson did not believe it could withstand a strong attack. He spent his time pacing up and down and gazing out at sea from the raised wooden platform on the south side of Fort Charles, which is still known as Nelson's quarter deck. The French threat did not materialize, and in September, the Hinchinbrook arrived. Nelson then took part in an ill-fated expedition to Nicaragua, in which most of the British forces were to die of sickness, which was yellow fever, incidentally. And only 10 of the ship's 100 men were to survive. Nelson himself was so sick on his return to Port Royal that he had to be treated ashore. He had to be carried ashore on a cot. Listen to this now. He was taken to the lodging house of a colored woman named Cuba, Q-U-B-A-H, Cornwallis, C-O-R-N-W-A-L-L-S, a doctoress who helped to nurse him back to health.
Cornwallis.
He afterwards recuperated at Admiral Parker's country house in the hills, but lamented that he was not back at Port Royal. Here's my sidebar point. We're talking about, I forgot the year, but way back when.
Yes.
1779. Black women were nursing white men.
Mm-hmm.
This doctress was, I think I read about her in another story.
Right.
About her actually having a gift or something.
Mm-hmm.
That knew all the different herbs and things that could cure all sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah. From her mother. I remember that story.
Isn't that fascinating?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the variety of bushes that
yes.
we have available that the scientists went to Jamaica and did research and produced things like toothpaste and so on. And
right,
all
and
we
know now that it goes back so far.
Oh, yeah.
Where even prominent people recognized at that time
mm-hmm.
what those things and those people who knew about them, at least they recognized them for their worth.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if you think about it, that was not happening here in the United States.
No.
Nobody have any... Well, it's not documented that they would take their sick to someone of African descent to get help.
Well,
they never talked about it or recognized it, but it certainly was recognized on several incidents and occasions in the Jamaican culture and society. And my point being, you know, there was slavery all over, but what was happening in Jamaica was a little different. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Carr?
Yes, I do. And remember, Jamaican women have a long history of mothering the society. Even you remember a lot of the births took place before we got lying in, you remember?
Yes,
at home. Lying in, which is
was done at home.
Lying in
yes.
for 2 weeks.
And by the way, we scoffed the obia and the bushes and all that. Remember that all of these people who were involved in healing and so on were using all these bushes and part of the cult
from
of opium and even
yes.
Marijuana
mm-hmm.
and the tea was very
used
very healing.
For asthma a lot.
The
Indians that were there
yeah.
were doing some of the same things.
Oh yes, oh
mm-hmm.
yes, and this is
so
why Margaret, this is why I just want to say this. I just want to take the opportunity to say this is the one of the reasons why I love your show is because It goes into the deep history of our country, which we tend to forget. And the new generation only remember things like the violence and the gun crimes and all this kind of a thing, and as if there's nothing of depth that comes from Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
But the history covers a wide range of subjects, wide range. Unfortunately, if I may say, finally, we have gone away from reading books. Of course, fortunately, the internet has reached a point now. They do have these tablets, like the iPad and so on, where they are producing copies of books, both fiction and otherwise scientific and so on, that you can carry with you in this little device, and so on. But we are so trapped into watching trivia on TV and on the internet that we tend to forget the other things that you and I, Margaret, hated, because I really hated to hear those dates. My mother was great at remembering 16 something, Columbus landed in 1492.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not my thing. But as you grow older, at least speaking for myself, I think I would be a greater student today, because I now embrace the importance of the history.
And I call myself giving a voice to these historians, because sometimes people find it easier, because even with the technology, people don't have time.
That's true.
They don't have time to do anything.
That's so true. So
it has not, freed up time for people, because if sometimes they're in conversation 24/7 with the texting and whatever that comes with the technology.
Right.
So my point is, if they can multitask, hopefully they can check their email and listen to the stories that I put out on the radio. So I'm hoping that the people who like the shows or find a story that they think may interest someone on their list, that they can copy and paste the URL or just tell them to go to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio and type in that particular word or the name they can remember from that thing. They have, Blog Talk Radio have a very good search within their website.
Yeah.
So if you go to backyardlabrish.com, click on the icon for the Blog Talk Radio, and if you don't even know, if you want to hear about something from Jamaica, and you type it in the search bar on Blog Talk Radio within the Backyard Labrish website, you will get to
amazed at what comes
talk
up.
About
You'd
that.
Be amazed.
Yes. So I want to invite folks to, I would love to celebrate 50,000 downloads at the same time that we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Jamaica. It would really just tickle my fancy.
Yes.
You know, I have a little ego thing going on there as I see the numbers fly.
Well, and of course, you're promoting Jamaica, land we love.
Oh, yes. Well, I do. When I say that, I really say it from the heart.
I know.
And although I don't plan to go back there, I'm happily retired where I am now and absolutely love it.
I share the joy with you. And believe me, it's good to look back, and it's a good look back.
I consider myself very blessed by the universe to have been born in Jamaica and raised in Jamaica. That I really say that from my heart, because I would have rather been born and raised.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the diversity, the lessons that I learned as I was growing up, it's just priceless, priceless.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that the next generation, the now generation, will learn and listen and seek and find all the joys and rewards that can come from being a Jamaican.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
And with that said, I want to thank quite a few people are listening online now, and those who may come by later on and listen to the show, I want to let you know how much I appreciate you. And if you would take a minute to go to, and we're upgrading our website. It will be, a new website will be out in another 30 days or so. You know, I'm sort of a senior, so it takes me a little longer to get some things done. But I do a lot of research to bring something interesting and fun and important once a week. And as I, celebrate more birthdays, it's taken a little longer than the year before. But I'm hanging in there and I'm marching on. But do drop me a line if you go to the website. We do have a website. If you would like to be added to our list, and I only send out information on the promotion of the show I am going to be doing, so you can tune in if you have an interest in that subject. And I will not send you any spam, so feel free to send me your email address or just send me a comment or something and let me know what you would like me to discuss. And as long as it's something that celebrates, enlightens, and preserves the rich, diverse culture, I will be more than happy to do it. So, Mr. Carl and Ms. Janine.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure having you. And we
You're
still
welcome.
Have a little more time to talk a little bit about the coming holidays, which will be this weekend. And if you haven't gotten your Easter bun yet, and you have a taste for bun or a yearning for bun, I'm sure that there might even be places you can order it on the internet and have
yes.
it shipped.
Who knows?
It arrives in time.
I don't know if it would. I don't know if you'd get it now if you didn't order it already. But
well,
yes.
if you need it bad enough, you can order it overnight. I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, that's true. But
places,
there are so many bakeries,
not only in the U.S. but Canada and all over the world. I'm sure if there are more than 10 Jamaicans in any place. You know, I did a story on a Jamaican restaurant in some part of China.
Yes,
oh,
I did
really?
That some like
I remember
a year or
that.
Four ago, I think.
Yes, I remember that.
Is it
but
Jamaica
they have,
making some waves all over the world?
They have Jamaican place all over, even in Canada, so I'm sure they can get
Canada
the
have
back.
A lot of them, honey, perhaps
mm-hmm.
more than the U.S.
Well, in New York, you can always find a place to pick up Jamaican foods, as
yes.
they say, round the corner.
Yes. And the hard
and London
and the bun.
And all over England, really, but London especially, I'm sure there's a lot. So I want to take this opportunity to wish everybody a happy Easter, whether you celebrate the religious holiday or not. I know in Jamaica everybody's on holiday, even if they're not religious.
Right.
That's
and it's just a time for... I know there's a lot of partying going on because of the carnival, but it's also a time to be still and recognize whatever higher authority you believe in and perhaps use the extra holidays to welcome friends and love family. So with that said, Miss Janine, do you have a message for our listeners?
I just want to say the same thing you just said. You know, have a good Easter and don't forget what it is about. It's true that we always have a lot to eat and different things, but the main thing is the person that went on the cross for us. So
right,
we
for
have
those
to remember that.
Yes.
What it is all about. And
right.
God bless everyone and be safe wherever you go.
Right. And spread some love.
And spread some love.
And share some knowledge
yes.
with a younger person.
Yes.
And
be
a lot
with,
of times,
be with
you know,
family
I
if you can.
I lose myself as an example. You know, I'm sure that my mother and my elders always thought that, She doesn't really want to know. She's not interested. She's not paying attention. We all go through that period.
Sure.
But, you know, don't give up on the youth. They're the next generation, and we want them to be the best that they can be.
Yes.
So spend
some time. Take some time with them. Devote some time to them if you have no young ones in your family. You know, we can always give and leave a part of us with someone else. So I encourage you to do that. So thank you, Miss Carl.
Godspeed be yours, Margaret. Godspeed be yours, Margaret.
Thank you so much. And you enjoy, have a safe and happy weekend.
And
I always say, make it a great week.
And be careful. Be careful with the fishbone.
Yes. Oh, don't go there. I had to go to the hospital one night.
I know somebody
that
had a problem with the fishbone. So be
careful. Yes.
If you don't understand it, take off the meat and leave the bone.
Right. All right, dears. Well, thank you for being here. You're always important to make my week.
Yes.
So I appreciate your input.
Yes.
Bye. And tell your friends.
We are very thankful for you, too.
All right, dear. Thank you.
Have a good holiday. Bye, Carl. Have
Goodbye.
A good one.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.